Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. For more than four decades, Fannie Flagg has been one of America's most cherished storytellers. Her breakthrough book, Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe, became an international bestseller. Her new book, Something to Look Forward To, Fictions, brings together an interconnected collection of stories. Across the pages, we encounter voices that are funny, tender, mischievous, and wise. A day I get to talk with Fannie Flagg is a darn good day, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Fannie Flagg to this week's book show. How are you?
Well, Joe, I'm great. Thank you for those sweet words, and I just couldn't wait to get to see my pal again.
It's so good to see you. Thank you very much for being with us. Tell me how this particular book came to be. This isn't a normal a linear story. This is fictions, stories put together that you have concocted.
Yeah, I know. Well, Joe, the world has changed so, and everything comes at us so fast and all of that. And I can't concentrate as long as I used to. I mean, it's very difficult for me to sit down and read a whole book. And I thought, well, you know, I can read an article, it's better. And I thought, well, I'll write short stories this time. And I just had more fun doing it. I loved it. And I'm surprised I didn't get committed. Some of the stories, I don't know where they came from. Help. But I just thought it would be easier for people to have just like sit down, read one story, and then go do what you have to do, and then come back to next week, whatever. And so it was just a lot of fun to write, a new format for me. But I like short stories. I do. You know, O. Henry, I loved O. Henry's short story. Eudora Welty was one of my, you know, people that I adored, and she wrote such funny short stories, as you know.
It's one of the things that you do in the book is some are shorter than others, some are longer than others, but it's fascinating because you are able to do what you do so beautifully and to set that up and to have the humor and to make it work. But you bring us to a Fannie Flagg world, as I use the word in the introductions of interconnected. So there are things that are connected here. So were they written together, or were they written at different times and put together? How did that work?
Okay. What happened, Joe, between us, right? Don't tell anybody. The first story that came to my mind was the one where Velma Vandehosen, the cute gal lives on the farm in Kansas.
Yes.
She came to me first. And that story where she's out in Kansas living in this little bitty farm way outside of town in Cottonwood, Kansas. And she has a granddaughter who is living in Berkeley, California. And the two of them try to talk on the phone. And one is extremely one way, and poor Velma, her day consists of feeding chickens and looking at the birds and butterflies, and and her life is very simple and lovely. And the other one is so busy. She's doing this, she's doing her yoga, and she's doing this and run. And her husband is a professor at Berkeley. You know, it's a whole different world going on at the exact same time. And the two of them trying to talk to each other is hilarious. And so what happened, honey, is I had such fun writing that I just kept going. So it became more than a short story. So what we had to do is go one section, then follow up on them, what they're doing now, and then what they're doing now, because it would have been too long for a short story. That's my fault. I couldn't stop because I kept laughing.
So you scrapped it for parts.
Scrapped it for parts. Well, my editor did, yeah. That's great.
Well, what is it about those? Because it seems to me you are more like the Velma character, I'm assuming, then.
I'd like to be. Let's put it that way. I'd love to have that wonderful outlook that she has. She really just has a very simple life, and I remember, it's so funny, Joe. I'll tell you this story. When I was younger, and I was growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, and I would take the train. There was a wonderful train called the Silver Comet. I'd take the train from there to New York City, and here I am. I'm so busy. Oh, I want a career, blah, blah, blah. And as I would pass through these little towns, I'd see these people sitting on the front porch, just rocking. And I look at them and I go, oh, I wish I could be there on that porch with them. That must be a wonderful life. It was, very, very simple and sweet. It seemed to me, So I
Yes.
think that that's what I would strive to be. I wish I could be more like Velma. Oh well, the world has changed.
Are there elements of that that you're able to incorporate in your world in the sense of by writing and having it be a somewhat solitary
Yes.
pursuit
Yes.
that you can
Yes.
you can spend time on the porch if you want to?
It's true. And I do, I create that and I rent it. I have to, I can't stay at home to write, Joe. I've got to go rent something because I have ADD and dyslexia. And if a leaf falls, I'm gone. So I have to go somewhere where no phone, no faxes, internet or anything. So I rented this little place on this particular book. So it was a little house, over in this little town called Carpinteria, and it had a little back porch that reminded me of my grandmother's back porch. And I had the most wonderful birds that would come visit, and I'd feed the birds, and it was very quiet. And so that was my inspiration for Velma. So I felt like I was in Kansas. And so when I went there, I was like in Kansas and seeing what she saw. And there was yellow butterflies flying in my yard, and I went, oh, that's probably maybe something she would have seen. The only thing I didn't have was chickens. Darn it, and eggs were so expensive. I could have made a good living, Joe, out on the road. Eggs.
You've never had a chicken in the house?
I've never had, well, it's so funny. I have to tell you this story. I was sitting there and I had the sliding glass door open. And all of a sudden, I hear bang, and I look down, and Joe, there is this absolute beautiful hawk sitting there, and it came up from the side. I don't know how it got in. And I thought, what is it hurt? And I picked it up, and I pulled his little wings and petted it and rubbed it and made sure it was okay. And my little hawk visited me for about 30 minutes and he wouldn't leave. And so finally I took it outside to make sure it wasn't hurt. And it sat on the ledge and it looked at me for a while and then it went, took off. So that was very interesting in terms of nature coming to visit.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that's a gift, isn't it?
Isn't
That's
it? Wasn't it? Yeah.
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 That's just a lovely thing to happen.
I know it was the sweetest, and birds fascinate me anyhow. I'm just fascinated with bugs and birds. They're just so perfect, their little bodies are so perfect.
But you have that love of nature.
I do indeed. I would love to be able to live on a farm, but I don't know that I could get up early and feed all my animals or something. I have a rescue cat, Joe, that started out this big and it grew and grew and grew. And they didn't know it, but it was turned out to be a Maine Coon cat. And it's
No.
big. I can't carry it around, but I can't resist if I go to any kind of thing. Like, I can't go to a humane society because I can't leave them. Because I go home and I go, I've got to get that cat that looked at me. I know that cat wanted to come home with me. So yeah, I do like nature very much. And so do you.
I do.
Yeah.
I very much do. And I live out in the country and that's
Lucky buck.
so when the fox family runs through and you see the baby
Yeah.
squirrels, it's or skunks, it's lovely. It's fun to
Isn't it?
watch. Yeah.
But isn't it funny, Joe, that they're just so perfectly formed? They're
Yes.
perfect. They come out perfectly. Humans are all different shapes, and then these little perfect little animals come out, and they're just perfect. They're perfectly formed and all of that. We got cheated.
Fanny Flagg is our guest. The new book is Something to Look Forward To,
Yay.
Fictions. And did this take you as long as a novel would have taken to write?
No, it really didn't, which was good. It because well, Joe, you know this. I've retired 7 books ago. I don't know what's the matter with me, but I thought, oh, it's too hard to write a book, and I don't want to have to sit by myself, blah blah blah. And then I thought, well, if I just write little short stories, that'll be easy. And it was, as you pointed out, I think it was faster for me. Didn't take as long because I could finish a story within maybe, some of them a couple of days and some of them a couple of weeks. And of course, a novel takes forever. And then again, you've got to have a plot. That's always irritated me.
A story has to have a point,
Oh, I know. I know.
but a novel just has to have a plot, which is a
Hey,
lot
I know.
harder than the
Dog,
point.
I hate that about that. You got to come up with a plot. You can't just have people yattering, which is what I like to do. Yeah. I think I'm better with a lot of writers just can write beautiful descriptions, and I seem to want to write conversations, people talking, because that's what cracks me up. It's what people say to each other.
The conversations are so perfectly timed, and so they become meaningful because they're just you get the essence of them, which I think is lovely.
And I hear them. I hear people talking. When I get totally quiet and people start talking, I can hear their I've always been interested in speech and dialects. People, I can tell where, basically I can tell where somebody is from by listening to them, because there are certain areas of the country that pronounce like one word differently or something, and I can usually tell where they're from. It's good.
So a couple of things I want to address with you. One is in the preface of the book, you say, "I've become a huge fan of the human being," which indicates that maybe you haven't always been a huge fan of the human being, which I don't blame you. I'll note that. Not only a fan, but delighted to be one myself. So thank you for always being so darn interesting and fun to watch. That's very cool. That makes you like we say that, oh, it's good for people watching. It's good, this is a good place to go on down on the beach and sit on the bench and just watch the show.
What brought me to it, that particular thing, which is true, I've always wanted to. Some people go to, the zoo. I go to the mall to look at people. First of all, the rigs people get on, it's just hilarious to me. If you go to the mall and see what people are wearing, it's just a scream. The reason that I have become such a fan of us humans, I kid about us being weird looking, but we are the only animal that has been told that we're gonna die. Which is a very heavy burden when you realize I'm alive, but I know that I'm not going to be alive forever. Animals don't know that. They don't have that burden. And yet the things that people go through and keep going, and the bravery and the strength of people, I am in awe of. Because it's not easy being a human being. And as you get older, you sure know a lot more about that, because you start losing loved ones. You see the sadness in the world, and it's a very heavy burden being a human being and remaining willing to keep going. So I see people, that get up, go to their jobs, they don't complain, and so I'm in awe of the courage of people and how they're able to do it. And I don't, some of the people that I know that have had terrible tragedies, I don't know that I could handle it the way they do. So I just admire humans because it's not easy. It seems easy. They don't tell you when you come out of into the world. They don't say, yeah, but you know what? You're gonna have arthritis. You're gonna have to have your teeth done. You're gonna have to have your hair. You're dealing with all this, the body, they don't tell you. And it's cost a lot of money. I think I have one of my characters who gets older and he says, I got to where I couldn't afford myself because it's expensive. Your eyes, you got to get your eyes checked, you got to get your teeth checked. I mean, it's a pain, but and yet people keep going, and I just admire that. I really do.
You admire it, and as you say in the beginning, that you just you find it so darn interesting,
I do.
and that is that you not only note it but also enjoy it is a plus. That's fun.
Yeah, it is. It is fun. And I particularly am prejudiced. I think that Americans, and this is what I am concerned about, Americans have the best sense of humor of anybody in the world. You go to Europe, you go to their sense of humor. American sense of humor is amazing. People are so funny. And I don't know, you remember that I used to work on Candid Camera.
Absolutely. With Alan Funt.
Yeah. And we'd put people through terrible things and they were able to laugh. And Americans had that tremendous ability to laugh at themselves, which is a wonderful thing to have, not take yourself so seriously. And one of the things that w when I wanted to write something to look forward to is I wanted to give people a laugh and remind people that yeah, it life is, can be terrible, but it's funny too. There's some funny stuff. And I think that mental health. Okay, let's talk about mental health. I think that if you lose the ability to see that anything is funny or lose your sense of humor, I don't think it's good for you. I think it's bad
No.
for your health, and I think it's bad for your outlook. And I think that a lot of people have lost their sense of humor, and we've got to get that back. And so I wanted to write something where there's no agenda. I'm not pushing anything, but it's just to make people laugh. That was one of the great, I think, talents of Mark Twain. And I just think that we need to have a pat on the back every once in a while and not be told how terrible we are 24 hours a day, because I think we're kind of wonderful.
The time you actively spent in show business,
Yes.
of the people that you met, that had to have been a lot of fun and very interesting of the different sorts of people that you meet.
Totally, totally. And I will tell you, some of the nicest people are the most successful people, strangely enough. You'd think that success, I had the opportunity to work with Carol Burnett, who's now my neighbor and one of the sweetest people that ever lived, genuine person. Reba McEntire, I'm working with Dolly Parton. All these people are genuinely lovely and nice. I think that I maybe met two or three people that were not very nice, very unhappy people, though. They were very unhappy and somehow were not able to enjoy their success so much.
Was Richard Dawson one of them?
I don't know. You know what about Richard? I'll tell you a little secret about Richard. Richard could be he could be a curmudgeon, but underneath, strangely enough, he had a heart of gold. He did a lot of stuff that he didn't tell anybody he did.
Well, here's my last question,
Yes, sir.
that's Hollywood related, and but just because there's now yet another version of Match Game on. Well, why in the world aren't you on that?
Well, I don't know. Wait a minute. No, I don't. I really, honey, I don't want to have to get all dressed up and head on down to Hollywood. I live about 100 miles away from Hollywood, and
Yeah.
that's okay. That's okay.
Well, that's fine.
That's
That's
fine.
fine. But
I don't.
you know that schedule. You go in, you knock out
Oh,
five shows in a day.
I know.
You know.
Well, I have to confess, I have not seen it, and it would be, I think, hard for me because it's a whole different, I think it's a different world. What we did was so sophomoric and silly and funny. I look at the reruns, strangely enough, of the old show every once in a while, and I go, the thing that made that show was not the question and answer. They were silly and stupid. It's that everybody liked each other.
Yeah. Well, don't you think, though, when you were talking about Candid Camera, but none of that was mean-spirited. Nothing you did
No.
on Candid Camera was mean-spirited. Nothing that you did on Match Game was mean-spirited.
No. And we would kid each other. Brett would make fun of me and I'd make fun of her. And we loved each other. It wasn't mean-spirited. And it's very difficult, I think, now because you're almost afraid because you're afraid you'll offend somebody because there are people that are sitting waiting to be offended. And you just don't know what you're going to say, and you're going to offend somebody. And you go, well, I don't want to offend anybody. But it's just very, it's a very different world, very different world.
Fanny Flagg's new book is something to look forward to. Fictions. Do you find yourself now wanting to just sit down and write the occasional story?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I do. It comes to me. I'll have, what comes first? A title.
Really?
I know, isn't that weird? Yeah. Darla's not dead and she's mad as hell. That title made me laugh. So I wrote
That's good.
it. So I wrote, just different titles. They spark my imagination. Somebody will say a phrase and I go, oh, that'd make a good title.
The other thing I enjoyed about the collection is that you bring us to a place of like Bent Fork, Wyoming, and then a particular year of 1996. So it's specific. It does bring you set that just in the title
Yeah,
of where we are and
where
when.
we are, right? And it's like I wanted to do a tour of the United States. I didn't want to just write in Southern or Midwestern or whatever. Just across the country, what's going on with different people, and how
Yeah.
they do things differently,
But you can't get away from Southern, can you?
I guess not. And I am always amazed because sometimes I will hear myself back and I go, well, I didn't know I sounded like that. And that's, I can't. I don't know why.
You told me once, that doing the books. After having a successful career in show business and then doing the books, that the itch that you had to be in front of an audience was scratched by going out on book tour and doing that kind of thing. Is that still the case?
Yes, I enjoy that very much. I so enjoy that part of it, meeting people and talking to them, and of course the people that I'm so lucky. I hope that's not plastic. I hope it's wood. The people that come to see me are so always very sweet people, very nice people. I don't have, because I don't write politically or I'm not trying
Yeah.
to do a point or anything. People are just very sweet and very nice, and it's lovely to meet people. Because the people that are my fans are very, very, very sweet people. I don't think I've ever had any kind of problem with. I know a lot of writers that write politically have problems with people wanting to argue with them or something, but I don't have that.
But you're also, I mean, I you're very sweet. I mean, you're a lovely person and you're very
Well,
funny and you're very approachable and so that doesn't surprise me that you don't have people coming up being mean to you.
yeah. Well, that's that. Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm lucky in that way because I think people know that I genuinely, am happy to see them, which I really am,
Yeah.
It's like you, Joe. I've been dressed and ready for the interview for 2 days.
Well, I love that we're catching you on your birthday. That's wonderful. You like that? That's okay. It doesn't bother you. Another birthday doesn't bother you?
Oh, I lie about it. No. And Joe, I'm taking 3 years off for COVID. I think that's fair.
Yeah, there you
You?
go. That's
There you go. There you
I
go.
would just subtract them.
Absolutely. Didn't happen. No,
Nope.
no,
Nope.
no,
Register
no.
it with the DMV and no one will ever know.
Know it. One of the great things that happened to me a couple of years ago, both my parents died very young. And I'm an only child, and I thought, oh God, what? I'm not going to live that long. What's coming up down the pike? I don't know. And my grandmother, her name was Leona Fortenberry, and she died in 1975, and he was young. And then I went through that, ancestor, found out she lied like a dog. She was a lot older than what she said.
Well, there you go.
Good for grandma. So
So
I'm good. I got a few more years to go.
it's in the genes. Just
Yeah.
lie your
Because
ass off.
you
There you
don't know what's
go.
coming down the pike. You go, oh, am I going to go funny? I don't know.
The name of the new book, Something to Look Forward To. It is published by Random House. Fanny Flagg, I just love talking to you. It's so much fun, and
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy our time together, and you're just one of my favorites, and it's a delight to speak to you.
Joe, always, always, honey. Look, I really was looking forward to seeing you again, and I so appreciate the interview. It's always fun to see you.
Fanny Flagg's latest is Something to Look Forward To, Fictions, published by Random House. Thanks to our producer, Sarah LaDuke. Write to us at book@wamc.org. The latest on national productions programs is available via the Airwaves newsletter at wamc.org and on social media at WAMC Radio. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening. For The Book Show, I'm Joe Donahue.